We have two very familiar texts today. The story of Ezekiel and the dry bones, which if you take a minute and you look on Google Images and you just type Ezekiel dry bones, you will see pages and pages and pages and pages and pages of art depicting this story. It is a story that we can visualize, isn't it? Maybe not understand, but visualize. A valley filled with bones lying everywhere. For me, I have to wonder, what happened in this big field where everything died altogether and the bones are just piled up? Was it some horrific act of nature that killed all these people? Or maybe there was a big battle and all the dead were just left to rot? But I just imagine bones as far as the eye can see. The scripture tells us multitudes of people. Then we have the story of Lazarus, a single man. A story we know all too well. Lazarus, one of Jesus' closest friends. We don't know if he's been sick for a long time or if it's something that came suddenly, but Jesus gets the word that he's sick. Jesus doesn't drop everything and go like we might have done. He continues on doing his work. And then he decides to make the journey back. Keep in mind, Jesus has just been to Judea where they've tried to kill him. So his disciples think he's crazy for going back. But they say, let's go with him. Let's all die together. And they go back. And they find that Lazarus has been dead 4 days. 4 days. So what do these stories have in common and how do they fit into Lent? I think it's easy to see that both stories speak of resurrection. And well, we can't help but think about resurrection as we get closer and closer to Holy Week. But look, let's look at these stories and think about the message that they have for us today. One of the things that I think both stories ask us to do is to ask ourselves, do we truly believe in the power of God? God asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? Can a field covered with dry bones come back to life? Then Lazarus, the disciples, and Mary and Martha all seemed to believe that if Jesus had come right away, he could have done something. But waiting 4 days, there's not much that Jesus can do. How often do we put limitations on God? How often do we say the words, we believe, but we don't put the real faith behind our words? Because it's more than we can imagine. I am living, breathing proof, a testimony of someone who could not stand up in front of a group of adults and speak without having a nervous breakdown. And I said to God over and over and over, not me. Not just God. I said it to you all too. Not me. I can't. And here I am today. Pastor, speaking to you Sunday after Sunday. How long did I fight and doubt God's power? What kind of limitations do you put on yourself? What ways do you say that there is no way that I can do that? We forget or we lack the faith that God can do amazing things through us, more than we can imagine. Ezekiel probably could not imagine in his wildest dreams raising a field of bones back to life. But he did. And he did it because he allowed God to work through him. New life came about. There's another way that this story speaks to me, and it's that new life is always possible. In both stories, it seemed too late. How often do we find ourselves in the midst of hopelessness or despair, and we feel like there is no way out? I think I've heard more times than I can count in the last year, I just don't know what we're going to do. Our world is in such trouble. What's going to come of us? We witness violence and crime and wars and hatred and poverty and illness. And we allow ourselves to start living in fear rather than living and believing in God's ability to revive us. If we can just find hope in the God that created us. I can't help but think about First New Braunfels this morning. Thank you, Kevin, for lifting them up in prayer this morning. But I can't imagine the deep despair and pain and grief they must be feeling this morning as they're joining together as a community of faith, having lost so many members and in such a horrific way. I can't imagine the hopelessness and the despair of the man driving the truck. But for both the community and both for that young man, new life is possible. It may not come overnight. It may not come easily. But if we keep our eyes focused on God, new life is available. I find it so fascinating what we can determine by bones. An archaeologist today can tell so much about people from hundreds of years, thousands of years ago by their bones. On our last trip to Oklahoma, we went to the Museum of Osteology. Never been there, but we thought we would give it a try. And when we walked in, this room, about the size of this room, was filled with bones. Not human bones, but animal bones. There was a humpback whale that spanned most of the ceiling. There were elephants and rhinoceroses, small critters like snakes and raccoons, and everything you can imagine. It was amazing what you could tell by these bones. What would an investigation of your spiritual bones tell about you? Would it show you lacking in prayer? Maybe a little deficient in Bible study or kindness? Would it show the way you treat others? Would it show that you would be able to answer yes if asked, can you revive these bones? Is there enough there to breathe new life into dry bones? If your spiritual bones were looked at closely and someone tried to reconstruct you, would they find you strong or would they find you undeveloped? You see, the story is about individual new life, but it's also about being willing to breathe life into others who have dry bones. I guess it's also important to ask ourselves, what is it to live? Do we, as individuals like Lazarus or communities like the Valley of Dry Bones, do we really know what it means to live? Does it take dying first to really understand life? We really don't hear anything more about Lazarus. We don't hear anything more about the large group of bones that were brought back to life. We know that Lazarus was stinky. But that's about it. How was life different? Was it something more treasured or was it something taken for granted? Was life lived more casually or more intently? We don't know. But as we stand here today and as we encounter Christ in the midst of life, can we see ourselves changed? Can we see as a community of faith change? I look back over my 16 years here, and I can see that we have had new life breathed into us. We've come out of various times of darkness and turmoil into a congregation of new life. Sure, we have work to do. We always will, but we're strong and we're loving and we're in tune with God's call. Can we look at ourselves as individuals and seeing God having breathed new life into us? Can we see how God has and how God continues to work in and through us and in and through this community and in and through this world? Can you look at yourself and see how God has brought you through difficult times when your bones were dry, or like Lazarus, you stinketh? Can you see times of new life? And can you see times when you have breathed new life into others? We come to this table this morning. We come here each month because this table reminds us of the breath breathed into us, the breath of new life. And so this morning, I invite you to this table. Would our servers come forward?